Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Tom Doherty. Of course, this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. Today is a great day to start off the baseball podcast, as we had opening weekend over this past weekend. MLB did something a little different this year. Usually we have one or two games on like a Sunday or something, where they have it on ESPN or have their big marquee games. This year, they decided to start on a Thursday, so we had a full slate of games on Thursday. One of the first times in a while we've had all 15 games going. There was a couple postponed games due to some inclement weather, I think, in Detroit and over in Cincinnati. They played some doubleheaders on Saturday or yesterday in Detroit. So they had a lot of good matchups going. We had some Cubs. We had some Yankees. Everybody was playing. As we got this season underway, the 2018 season, I am so excited. As a big baseball fan myself, I'm just so happy to be here, be part of this, and so ready to talk about baseball, because there are some serious storylines going on right now. I mean, we obviously have the new addition to the Yankees in Giancarlo Stanton. He did not waste any time on Thursday, took two pitches to launch a baseball over the wall in Toronto and give the Yankees a lead. He hit another one, actually. He had two line drive, absolute shots out of the park in Toronto, making that park look small as it already is, a big home run park there in Canada. So the Yankees took that one. They did take three out of four from the Blue Jays. I mean, Aaron Judge has yet to lift off. He did show off his arm, though. They did not want to run on him. He's got a cannon from right field. So the Yankees looking pretty good. Red Sox, on the other hand, they had the trouble on opening day with Tampa Bay. They were leading most of the game, let the Braves come back, gave up a big bases clearing triple to Denard Span, the new addition to the Rays, coming over from the Giants in the trade for Evan Longoria. Red Sox lost that one, but they came back. They got a couple wins as they took that series. But what we want to talk about is these big teams. The Cubs, they played in Miami. That's the time that was an interesting storyline over the offseason. The Miami Marlins kind of getting their new ownership with Derek Jeter and deciding they're going to just give away everybody. Derek Jeter, the new president or new owner and now president of the Marlins, he decided just to kind of trade everybody away. Traded Christian Yelich over to the Brewers, gave obviously Giancarlo Stanton over to the Yankees, and Marcelo Ozuna decided to go over to the Cardinals. So he's just trying to go with that homegrown talent, I guess, and try and see what they could do with that pitching staff, young team all around. They took two out of four from the Cubs. The big NL Giants and the Cubs, they're going to be fighting for that NL pennant this year, obviously, after coming back, coming off of a season where they were knocked out by the Dodgers last year. I feel like the Dodgers was for that team last year. They had the pitching all lined up. They knocked the Cubs out pretty easily in the NLCS. I feel like the Cubs are going to come right back in this season and be that team where they're going to win one, they lose it in the playoffs, and then they're going to come back and win another championship, or at least be in some serious contention for it. We'll talk about the Astros a little bit later and obviously what they have to say about that, because they're stacked and they did not waste any time loading up their team one more time to make another run for the championship as they did last year. Not only did they keep Justin Verlander, are going to have him for a whole another season, they're going to have Gerrit Cole and all their young pitching with Lance McCullers and Dallas Keuchel, already a Cy Young winner. Big lefty coming out there for Houston. And I feel like the Astros, their team where they made tanking kind of relevant in baseball. I mean, we see it in basketball with tanking. We'll kind of do a little tanking thing here, because the Astros were the worst team in the league in 2013. They come back in 2017 and win a championship. Obviously, they had all those. You have to make the good first-round picks. Obviously, Carlos Correa, I remember when he was drafted, way back, I believe in 2014 out of Puerto Rico. A very talented shortstop, obviously can hit some long, long home runs. You saw last year in the World Series. He is coming back in for another year, and obviously you have George Springer, and then the man who just got the big, long contract extension, the Jose Altuve, the most probably one of the better stories in Major League Baseball, obviously coming out of a camp where he was barely invited to it, had to just play his heart out, and got a spot, and now he's that number one face of that franchise, Jose Altuve. But for the Yankees, obviously they're going to have something to say about it this year. Coming into 2018, they looked pretty good over this first series. The pitching was there. They have Sonny Gray, obviously, coming over from the A's, as the A's continue to be that quasi-farm team for either the Red Sox or the Yankees, giving up some of their big young arms to go over to the bigger franchises that can actually pay for them. But they had Luis Severino, the guy who throws absolute gas. I mean, he throws really hard, and he had a really good outing on opening day. Well, the Yankees got that win over the Blue Jays, as I talked about before, where Stanton had those two home runs. Severino just throws absolute gas, and he carved up that Blue Jays roster, which is going to be interesting. The AL East, I don't know how to say it, but it's going to be a two-team race. I mean, you have the Orioles. They like to stick around there a little bit. They got Dylan Bundy, young pitcher. Obviously, you still have one more year of Manny Machado before he decides where he wants to go next year. Obviously, already has stated that he's not going to come back to Baltimore, not going to pay him enough money. But it's going to be the Yankees and the Red Sox. It's going to be interesting because they're going to be fighting it out. They played each other 19 times, as everybody in the divisions, they each play each other 19 times. So you got to think about that and how those wins can either even out, or they're going to beat up on those poor teams down south, like the one in Tampa Bay, or that team up north in Toronto. So those AL East teams, they need to figure out where they're going to get their wins, or those Yankees and Red Sox are going to run away with that division, and they'll likely fight for whoever wins the division. The loser will probably, the second place team will probably be in that wild card game, which now obviously we have that. We've had a few years of it now. One of the better additions in baseball, the fact that you have that wild card game, and it's a one game playoff. I mean, you have two teams. One's a home team. Doesn't really matter. The home team's actually lost, I feel like, more than it has, more than they've won in that wild card game. Last year, you had one of the more wild wild card games. That was in the National League with the Rockies and the Diamondbacks. But for the Reds, for the Red Sox and the Yankees, they have the bullets. They have the arms. They got the bats. I mean, you got J.D. Martinez going over to the Red Sox from Arizona. And then you obviously have Giancarlo Stanton in New York in the pinstripes. I mean, as much as I hate to see it, but, I mean, he's going to be a big name in that city, going with Aaron Judge with those baby bombers. Obviously, with Gary Sanchez, that great catcher, he's a great prospect coming up for the Yankees and looking good. He hits balls just as far as those other two guys. So they got a pitch. They got Severino. They had obviously Masahiro Tanaka, the Japanese import, very good pitcher. I mean, he's got some of those pitches that you can't even see the break until it's already at the plate. I mean, it's just ridiculous how he has those off-speed pitches, those breaking pitches that just absolutely disappear. I'll talk about another Japanese player in the next segment. That's Shohei Ohtani. And they're the two-way player playing. He's hitting in the DH, and he's pitching. And we just saw him pitch over the weekend, but that's the next segment, so we'll get to that later. But so just continue over this opening weekend. We saw a lot of different stuff. Obviously, there's still some teams that have yet to get a victory. The Reds, the Tigers. Those are probably going to be teams that are going to be down in the cellar dwellers. But as for the front runners, everybody kind of had a pretty average weekend. Baseball is like that. It's a long season. It is not a sprint whatsoever. It is a long marathon, 162 games. A lot of teams only play just three of those games over the weekend. So we'll have to see. Over in L.A., the Dodgers and Giants renewed their rivalry with a four-game series. Dodgers obviously looking to avenge that World Series loss. They face the Giants in their opening series at home in Chavez Ravine at Dodger Stadium. The Giants took the first two by a total score of 2-0. The first game was 1-0 on a Joe Panik homer. The second game was 1-0 on a Joe Panik homer. First time that's ever happened. However, the Dodgers did get the next two. Both were shutouts. It's the first time, I think, in MLB history where an opening series has been a shutout either way. Either one team was shut out. The first two, the Dodgers were shut out. The second two, the Giants were shut out. So it's interesting. It's a little stat right there. But, I mean, the Dodgers, they're looking pretty good. They're going to have Justin Turner coming back from that injury. Logan Forsythe's filling in for him at third base right now. I like Logan Forsythe. He's a good little hitter. He needs some work on the glove, but he's a good little hitter. We'll have they have Matt Kemp, actually. Matt Kemp was supposed to be that guy who they were going to at least cut or trade. He got traded back over from the Braves, and he's actually slimmed down, and he's in their starting lineup. He hits like six in their orders playing left field. Now I think there's some trade talks. If I want to do a little breaking news, they're in the trade talks. They've been doing this for a long time, though. The Dodgers and the Brewers are in trade talks for Ryan LeBron. This has been going on for a long time because the Dodgers have a prospect they do not want to give up. The Brewers really want him. But yeah, that's not gonna happen anytime soon. I don't think it's gonna be a while because the Dodgers are pretty stubborn when it comes to their prospects. As you see, they have some darn good ones. I mean, you got Cody Bellinger obviously already up in the pros, Corey Seager already up in the pros. Yasiel Puig is one of their studs back in the day. Now he's obviously a veteran these days. You obviously have some of their young arms, as in the Julio Urias, and then another couple. Guys, I mean, that we don't even know about probably, but they don't want to give him up because the Brewers are asking for the wrong guys to get Ryan Braun to the Dodgers. So, and we'll have to wait on that one and see what happens. So, in the NL, that's what we're looking at. Cubs, they split their series with the Marlins. Dodgers split their series with the Giants, each 2-2. So, those are the top two teams in the National League. In the National League East, actually, we have Washington. They swept their series. They only played three games. They had four scheduled. One was postponed due to inclement weather, so they did not play the doubleheader over the weekend. They played the Reds in Cincinnati and made that team look pretty bad because the Nationals are a darn good team. They have a two-headed monster up in the top of that rotation with Scherzer and Strasburg. I mean, that's pretty hard to match up with if you're for any team. I mean, you have two tough righties. I mean, coming throwing hard with that hard off, with a good off-speed pitches, good changeups. Both those guys have very, very good changeups and very good sliders. I mean, strikeout pitchers, and they're going to be battling each other. They're on the same team. They're going to be battling each other, basically, with Kershaw, I guess, for the NL Cy Young this year. We'll get to our way too early predictions later in the show. Maybe the segment number three, we'll probably get to our way too early predictions for the MVP for either league, and then also the Cy Young for either league. Not quite ready to do the old playoff prediction yet. We'll probably get to that later in the week. But, I mean, like I said, three games of 162. So we got a long haul in front of us. I mean, this is just my first episode here of the GMC Baseball Podcast. GSMC Baseball Podcast. And this is only the first weekend of a long season. So I'm looking at my scores right now, looking at my standings, and I'm seeing just normal stuff. Nobody's really popping out right now. We had a couple big things happen on opening day. We had a guy hit three home runs, only the fourth time in Major League Baseball history. A guy hit three home runs, Matt Davidson for the White Sox. White Sox actually hit six home runs in that game against the Royals, who haven't got a win yet. They swept the Royals in that series, but Matt Davidson making that park in Kansas City look mighty small. Knocking three balls out of the park there. All right. So that'll wrap it up for our first segment. Kind of went over the league a little bit. Went over the first weekend of the series. I mean, we're first weekend of the season, I say. And next up, after the break, we're going to talk about Shohei Ohtani, the Japanese superstar who came over and got signed. It was courted by a bunch of different teams. Got signed by the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And he actually did both things this weekend. He hit and he pitched. So we'll talk about how he did and some more big stars coming up next.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. We are in segment number two, and we're going to talk about Shohei Ohtani. In this segment, the Japanese superstar who is now Los Angeles Angel, and he on opening day, he actually was a designated hitter. Remember, he is this two-way Japanese superstar, this guy who came over from the Japanese leagues, the Nippon leagues, and was courted by many teams, courted by the Giants, Yankees, I believe some the Rangers, a couple big names, Dodgers definitely, all wanted him because he has some nasty, nasty stuff. Obviously, he's a big dude, 6'4", 23-year-old guy from Japan. He has the off-speed. He has the movement. He's got a fastball. He touches about 96 on the radar gun. Oh, yeah, and he also can hit. So he's a big left-handed hitter. So on opening day, he DH'd for the Angels. I believe he only went one. He got his first major league hit in his first at bat, I believe. He grounded one through the right side against the A's. He did not play on Friday or Saturday, but then on Sunday, he took the mound for the Angels, started for them through six innings of nice baseball. Only he was touched up for three runs on a one swing by Matt Chapman. Matt Chapman did take him deep, but he struck out six, looked mighty nasty with that off-speed stuff. I was talking about Masahiro Tanaka for the Yankees earlier. They must know how to teach guys how to throw curveballs and sliders in that over there in Japan, because those guys have some nasty, nasty, nasty stuff. But what I do want to talk about is the fact that he is one of the first. We've never really seen this before. I don't think we've seen it ever. And since maybe Babe Ruth, who was a pitcher, if you don't remember, way back in the day, obviously a big slugger. But we haven't seen this in years, where you have a guy doing both. He's a two-way player. He's a two-way player. That we've seen Madison Bumgarner. We've seen these great pitching or hitting pitchers who can hit bombs when they every time they come up when it's their turn to pitch. But Shohei, he's a guy who's going to play DH. You're going to see him maybe two, three times a week, not only on the mound but also in the batter's box DHing for the Angels. Obviously, they got Albert Pujols, who is their DH as well normally. But Shohei looks like he's going to split time. They had him one game against the A's where he was the DH, and then he obviously pitched last night in Oakland. We'll see how he had six strikeouts. I mean, that is crazy. Looking in his first day and first game as a starting pitcher in the major leagues. I mean, there was a lot of hype of him coming over from the Japanese leagues. Obviously had a big courtship coming for him and decided to go to the Angels, goes in that big market in the American League so he can be in that DH spot. I'll give you the line for him. Six innings, three hits, three runs scored on that home run from Chapman, six strikeouts and one walk. I mean, that's pretty darn good. Got his first win as a major league pitcher. And probably the first of many is because if you look at his highlights, they're pretty stellar right there. They make you say wow, because he obviously had a lot of hype coming into this league, but we didn't really know what he was. We didn't know you can look up his highlights from Japan. Obviously, it's a different kind of league. We've only seen a handful of players really come over from Japan and do well. I mean, there's your Ichiro's and your Hideki Matsui, Nori Aoki, all these guys that have had good major league careers, Koji Uehara, to name a few. But this guy is special. He's something different. We haven't seen it before. He hits and he pitches. And if you watch in the Cactus League, he did hit a little bit. Haven't seen the power yet. Keeps the ball on the ground, but he's got one of those classic Japanese swings. Nice high leg kick. Good swing. Keeps the bat flat through the zone. And then obviously he's a big dude, so he has that power. You can see it. You can look up his Japanese league highlights. He can hit the ball mighty far. I mean, you might see him hit the ball as far as Aaron Judge or maybe Giancarlo Stanton. But I mean, they can do what he can. They can't jump on the mound and just throw six innings of nice baseball and get a win with some nasty off-speed stuff and then throw 95 when he needs to, because that's what Shohei does. That's what Ohtani does. I mean, that's why so many teams, I think, were so eager to try and give him this offer. Obviously, I think when it comes to Major League Baseball and their international stuff, you have so much international money you can give a player. I think I also saw reports that if Ohtani had waited another year, he could have gotten more money. But he was ready. He's 23 years old. He wants to show up on the stage here in the United States in a big market in Los Angeles. And he played. he's been playing super well. I mean, you can see his debut was superb. I mean, I cannot keep talking about it enough because, I mean, that's from a pitcher myself. I mean, one hit, he got touched up for basically one big hit that went over the fence. That was the three runs. But when that was it, that's been looking good. Only give up three hits in six innings. I mean, that's pretty nice. So I'm looking forward to seeing him pitch again. Obviously, kind of want to see him hit some more too because, I mean, I've seen highlights of it. He looks mighty good at the plate. I mean, it's a pretty sight to see when he's hitting because he is a special, special player. And it's just the start of his career. So it's going to be an interesting thing to see how he does in how the league. That's the one thing about Major League Baseball. We'll say they do adjust. Everybody adjusts. So you have these players who you know when they're really good, like a Mike Trout or a Bryce Harper, when they can continue to have the sustained success. We've seen a lot of flashes in the pan. We've seen a lot of guys that have a good month or a good season, and then the next season the league adjusts to them, finds a hole in their swing the thing with Ohtani is you got to find a hole in the swing, and then you also got to find a pitch to hit because he's a pitcher and a hitter. Can't keep saying that enough. We haven't seen it in so long. Since, like I said, Babe Ruth was the last time we had a hitter who was also a pitcher in every 5 days. I think the Angels, the way they're going to run it, and like I've said before, I think that on the other sports podcast, GMC Sports Podcast, GSMC Sports Podcast, we talking about Mike Socha, the manager of the Angels, and how he probably is the perfect guy to figure all this out with how to manage a two-way player like Ohtani. I believe they're going to do a six-man rotation for the Angels, so it's not going to tax. The Angels have had a lot of pitching issues in the past, obviously. I have my own opinions about the Angels now, the fact that they have had one of the best players, if not the best player, in baseball for the last 4 to 5 years, Mike Trout, and have kind of wasted his years. I mean, I don't think he's yet to have that big contract yet. You're going to have Bryce Harper coming off of his latest deal and becoming a free agent next year. There's been reports he's asking for $400 million. You don't see Mike Trout attached to that. No, at least not yet. Because the Angels, I mean, they haven't done anything. They haven't had the pitching lined up, and maybe this is the time where Ohtani can get them over. They obviously have they're in a tough little division here with the defending World Series champion Astros right there in the AL West with them. And then the Mariners up in Seattle, they kind of usually shoot themselves in the foot. They're that franchise that is just yet to peek through. They have they give these guys like Cano and Nelson Cruz these big deals, but it just never seems to work out for them. They have obviously another great pitching arm over there, a legend in King Felix Hernandez, who I'm going to see pitch on Wednesday, actually. It's pretty exciting. But no, the Angels, we'll see. We'll see. It's a long season. Ohtani is promising. It's that first little outing for him. I want to see him hit some more. I want to see him get in the DH. I mean, we'll see what they do, if they're going to have him hit on the DH a day after he starts, or they're going to give him a few days before. We've never seen something like this, not in my lifetime, where we're all kind of learning as it goes, and we're going to see what Mike Socha does. It's going to be interesting to see how he kind of manages this two-way player with Ohtani, and the fact that he is going to be pitching every 6 days and then also can jump in that lineup. It's going to be interesting also to see too, because I said like Albert Pujols, obviously getting a little older, aging player, but he's still a legend. First ballot Hall of Famer all the way, World Series champion. I mean, he got that big contract from the Angels, hasn't really lived up to it yet, but obviously the Angels knew what they were getting into. It was the end of his career, I believe, and kind of on the tail end. Would like to see him retire as a Cardinal, but you know, you got to go get that money. And he's also a DH. He's kind of a liability out in the field now. You got Marte playing first base. They traded CJ Cron. But, I mean, I think Ohtani might even throw him over at first base. So, I mean, with Pujols, he used to be that sick love over there. But, I mean, when he came up to be a DH, I mean, Pujols doesn't look that good. He went 0-for-5, so we'll see. Ohtani might be getting more bats. If Pujols can't get it going from that DH spot, we'll see Ohtani more maybe in that DH role, or maybe they'd even just hit him when he's pitching, take away that DH, which you can do. You don't have to have a DH when you're in American Leagues. You can take away that DH. We've seen Bruce Bochy do it when the Giants play in an American League park and Madison Bumgarner is pitching that day. He'll just take away that DH, and he'll throw Bum and let him hit. I mean, throw Bum out there in the lineup and let him hit, because Bum, obviously, we've seen, can just hit those bombs, and he can rake from the right side there. But, yep, Ohtani, it's interesting. Interesting. Just very, very. I mean, like I said, it's showtime. I'm reading all these headlines. It's showtime. Obviously, he dazzled in his first one against the A's, his first outing. We'll see how he does against the Astros. They have a little more, a few more bats in that lineup with Correa and Altuve and Springer all going after him. But from the highlights I've seen, I mean, his stuff looks mighty nasty. It looks real, real, real good because, I mean, it just. He's throwing that pitch from the right side, and he's throwing it about 96 with that fastball. I mean, his slider is probably, let's see, what he throws that slider at. So that's a slider at 88 and just a straight down bite. I mean, he's making people look silly. I mean, look at that. I'm looking at my highlights right now. It's going straight down, cutting that 89-mile-an-hour slider to your back foot. I mean, that's pretty hard to see. Guys throw fastballs at 89 miles an hour. He's throwing a slider with straight down bite to your back foot for a left-handed hitter. That's virtually unhittable, and it looks like a fastball coming out of his hand because that's what a slider does. A fat slider looks like a fastball coming right out of his hand, and then it just dies. Look at that. That's a nice slider. 90 miles an hour, just diving right out of the bottom of the zone. He's got such a nice delivery, too. I mean, nice laid-back delivery comes right over the top, and, I mean, that's what you want to see. I mean, he's 6'4". He's obviously a big guy, so he could definitely get the ball up there and make people look silly. We'll see how he does throughout the rest of the season. Also want to get to, like I was talking about before, the Astros. They loaded up. They got Garrett Cole. I'm going to do a little AL West. We're talking about the AL West here, obviously, with the Angels. We'll keep going with the AL West and the Astros. I think they're due for another run. They're probably going to take care of that division. The Angels might be in there for that wild card, but the Astros are just so stacked. They were stacked last year, obviously. Obviously, they got Justin Verlander in the trading deadline, but they're just so stacked still. They got Garrett Cole in the offseason on a nice little deal coming over from Pittsburgh. I mean, they picked up a good right-hander. I mean, he's going to come into the American League, and that's the thing. For pitchers switching leagues, you always tend to see a little more success at the beginning because you have a lot more guys that have not faced him yet. I mean, hitters, it's a little more difficult because when you switch leagues, you are going to face a crop of pitchers that you probably haven't seen yet. Maybe not all of them because pitchers obviously switch leagues too. But, I mean, you're going to have to figure out these guys that have been in the American League or been in the National League for a while when you've been in the other league and you haven't faced them nearly as much. I mean, it's all about the amount of times you face him. That's why when you watch baseball, it's like, oh, this guy's faced this guy. He's 3-for-6. He has ownage against this guy. I mean, that's kind of thing. More times you see somebody, the more you're going to be able to pick up their tendencies. But for pitchers going over to the other leagues, you watch some video on a hitter, you find a hole in his swing, you kind of know what to throw, you talk to your other pitchers, you can be downright untouchable for, I mean, at least a couple months until they adjust for you. Baseball does adjust pretty quick in the major leagues, but with these professional hitters. But for Garrett Cole, I only kind of expect him to do well. He kind of regressed a little bit his last few years in Pittsburgh, maybe didn't have much to play for. The Pirates have been kind of down. But now he's got to be on a team that he needs to perform. I mean, he's going to be, I believe, probably that third or fourth starter behind Verlander and Dallas Keuchel, both very good players. Love those guys. I mean, Dallas Keuchel, that's the kind of pitcher I was. I wanted to be that guy. He's that pitch to contact, lefty, great curveball, good changeup, fit spot and location on that fastball. I mean, that's what you want to see from a left-handed pitcher, getting a lot of ground balls. He was great in the postseason, was a big part of that run for the Astros last year. Obviously, you have Verlander, who's shown that he can get back at it. I mean, he's been that guy for the Tigers, kind of regressed just like Garrett Cole did. A little bit, was getting touched up, having a little shoulder problems, but now he's kind of having a renaissance, wants to show off that he can have a full season of success with this Astros team. And in the way they swing the bats, it shouldn't be that difficult because they will give you run support. They will give you run support, and they will give you probably a lot of run support more often than not, unless they're pitching, they're facing another nasty pitch on the other side. But Correa, Springer, Mariznick, Altuve, Gurriel, I can just keep listing off these guys, and they can all hit the ball out of the park. So that's going to wrap it up for this segment. Kind of went over the AL East and AL West and talked about Shohei Ohtani. Next segment, we're going to just go over what's coming up for these this baseball season. Obviously, we're going to go over the division favorites, maybe some way too early MVP predictions. I already kind of gave you my division favorite for the AL West, the Astros, but we haven't even talked about the NL or anything like that quite yet. So maybe some, and then also some way too early Cy Young predictions as well. We'll be right back. Thanks.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Ooh, welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. We talked about Shohei Ohtani in the last segment and a little bit about the AL West and how the Angels are going to fare. They got that big pitcher, Ohtani, from the Japanese leagues. He's looking pretty good in his first start. We also saw him hit in the DH spot on Thursday, in opening day. He got his first major league hit. He also struck out six guys yesterday on the pitching mound. So he's that guy. He's going to do both. So, I mean, that's the Angels. That's what they're going to try and do to defend. Or to not defend, but to keep the Astros from defending that AL West crown and maybe even defending that American League pennant, because the Astros are still looking good. We talked about them a lot last segment too, and how the fact that I think that they have loaded up so much where maybe Ohtani will not be enough of the Angels, because they got some holes in their lineup. Obviously, they still have the great Mike Trout, but the Astros are just such a complete team. It's going to be really, really hard to knock them off. Like we've said before, it's a long season. It's a sprint. It's not a sprint. It is a marathon. The baseball, 162 games. Some teams have played four. Sometimes some teams have played three. So we have a lot to go. A lot and long time. So this segment, we're going to talk about some division favorites. We'll go through each division impartial, because that's what we do here at GSMC. We're going with all the facts and all those teams that just are better than the other ones. And we'll start in the National League East. Washington Nationals, they need to get their stuff together, because they are the best team in that division easily. The Mets have those two guys at the top of the rotation. They got Syndergaard and DeGrom. We'll get to them. But the Nationals, they have two guys on top of their rotation that we talked about a little bit earlier on the show with Scherzer and Steven Strasburg, who are just the guys that need to take that team to the next level. They are the team that just kind of, they're the Clippers of the MLB. Always just cannot make it to the next round, getting knocked out in the playoffs, whether it's the first round or the second round. They just having trouble getting to that division series, whether it's just bad breaks or an 18-inning game against the Giants where they give up a home run and they can't score a run when they have eight times to win it on a walk-off. So, Washington Nationals, they're the favorite in the East, in my book. I mean, the Mets, they're looking pretty good, too. They can give them some trouble. They're going to obviously, like I said before, the division teams play each other a lot more. So, they're going to beat up on those lower teams like the Marlins. And the, who else is in that AL East? Oh, the Braves. Yeah, the Braves. So, they're going to beat up on the Marlins and the Braves a little bit. But it looks like the Nationals are going to probably pull away with that one. Maybe the Mets kind of give us a little surprise and compete with the Nationals, give them some trouble as we go towards the end, work towards way through the season. Obviously, it's a long season, so we got to figure that out. But that's my way too early favorite in the East. The Nationals looking good there with that complete lineup. One more year, Bryce Harper, before you got to decide if you're going to pay him or let him go. Nationals, we'll see what they can do. In the NL Central, Central's looking pretty weak. Cubs, they're the number one team. I feel like the number one team in the in the National League altogether. If you want to throw the Dodgers in there too, that's fine, because they're darn good too. But the Cubs, they're looking good. They look like they're ready for another run. They got knocked out last year in the NLCS championship series pretty easily by LA, but I feel like they're hungry. They're ready to go. You got Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant coming back stronger than ever. I mean, this is a dynamic duo in the middle of that lineup, whether you're going to have Rizzo hit third and have Bryant hit second, or just drop him down, hit him 3-4. I mean, you got Joe Maddon, who's one of the best managers, excuse me, in the league, working that lineup. And then also they're a young team. They not only have those two guys who are both young in themselves, they have Javier Baez, a good shortstop who's got range all over the place, or if they're going to have him play second too, because they still got Addison Russell. We'll get to that. And then he can hit. I mean, that guy's got a big swing, but he's got that control where he can get that front foot down and go either any way. He can knock the ball out of the park. They got that small park in Wrigley. When the wind's blowing out, you can knock the ball out pretty much anywhere, whether it's foul pole to foul pole. But those guys all have the power. And then you have a slimmed down Kyle Schwarber, where depends where he's going to play in the field. If they're going to put him out in the outfield or have him play first base, or, I mean, he was a catcher, but probably won't be doing that anymore. They have Contreras. He's pretty good. But that whole lineup from top to bottom, I mean, I just listed off four guys. Then they have obviously Ben Zobrist, the veteran who is just never ceases to amaze me with his ability to put the bat on the ball, play anywhere you want, outfield, second base. I mean, first base, they can pretty much put him anywhere. And then you got shortstop and third base pretty much locked down with Addison Russell and Chris Bryant. In the outfield, they got that Ian Happ kid. I mean, he's the leadoff guy. I mean, he did not waste any time. I could have talked about it in the first segment, but yeah, he hit a home run on the first pitch of the season. If that doesn't give you any indication on what we're going to go having this season, a lot of home runs. We had a guy hit three home runs in the first game. I think I talked about that. Matt Davidson, yeah, I talked about that in the first segment. Hit three home runs in the first game on Thursday. So last year we obliterated the record of home runs in a season. Some people have been saying the ball's juiced. I kind of agree, because we're seeing balls fly out of stadiums that don't usually give up that many home runs. We've yet to see it at AT&T Park because they have big fences. But even at Dodger Stadium, which has a pretty good size, pretty good defenses, good average size on the distances there and the power alleys, balls be flying out of there. You know, Cody Bellinger, Corey Seager, Justin Turner, they're all hitting home runs. I mean, those guys, everybody's hitting home runs. I mean, we see, obviously, Cubs, that's the friendly confines for a reason, because when the wind's blowing out, you hit it up in the air, it'll just blow the ball out. But we're seeing home runs in Petco Park, which usually does not give them any home runs. Yes, they did bring the fences in, but still, I mean, it's almost too much to like, because obviously the fans do like the home run, but you're probably losing a little bit of the realness of the game when you juice the baseballs. And that's what I've even heard some baseball purists talk about, the fact that these balls might be juiced and they might just be going for the hoopla of the home run, because these guys are losing, Major League Baseball is losing their younger fanship. Not only are they trying to speed the game up, they're trying to get more home runs. And the Cubs, their lineup is just ready for that, because everybody in that lineup can just hit the ball extremely, extremely far and extremely, extremely hard. But the one thing you always have to have, not only you can't just hit everybody out of the park, you got to pitch. You got to pitch a lot. And the Cubs, they did not want to bring back Arrieta. Probably did not like how his contract would have worked out. They got some young pitchers. They got John Lester, obviously, leading off that rotation, coming in there with that big contract. Who else they got going for them in that rotation? Oh, they got that righty, Mr. They got Mr. Despondi. That was for the Marlins. Oh yeah, they got Butler. They got Butler from the Rockies. He's pretty good. I like him. He's good. He's a crafty right-hander. I mean, he's a good player. And they got Kyle Hendricks. That's who I was trying to think of before. Kyle Hendricks is a good pitcher. I mean, he's a contact pitcher, gets the ball on the ground. And we'll see how all those guys work out. And then obviously in the bullpen, they have it all lined up with some of those young arms worked out. And then on Joe Maddon, nobody works the bullpen better than Joe Maddon. So the Cubs looking like the favorite in the NL Central. In the NL West, we talked about them a little bit. I just kind of mentioned them before with the home runs. They hit a lot of home runs last year, the Dodgers. They got the pitching with those lefties coming through in those rotation. Obviously, they got Clayton Kershaw, the perennial Cy Young Award winner. But they also have some good lefties with Rich Hill and Alex Wood. I saw them over this weekend because they were playing the Giants, and I was able to watch them pitch a little more closely than others. But They can pitch. They can pitch. They obviously have Kensel Maeda, probably one of the weak spots in their lineup, in their rotation over the playoffs, but he looks mighty good in his first start, making the Giants look like a little minor league team, kind of Swiss cheesing them, because he has some good movement. Another very talented arm out of Japan that's been a good Dodger and a good MLB player over the last few years, because when he's on, he can make that slider move. He has a good two-seamer that kind of works away from you, and a devastating changeup that'll just fall off the table, and has the same arm action as that as that fastball will just fool hitters silly. So, half like the Dodgers in the West. Last year, we had two West teams in the wild card game with the Rockies and the Diamondbacks fighting in that wild card game. Great wild card game, by the way. Those two teams always went, I mean, we had their series. I mean, they played a bunch of 1-1 games. I mean, they had a game on Friday that was 9-8. I think the wild card game was like 12-11 or something like that. But they had a wild ending to it. They had a pitcher. Archie Bradley hit a triple, knocked in two runs in the wild card game. So they're looking to probably to happen again. I like the Brewers for the wild card, maybe that second wild card. But one of those teams are going to either battle. We'll see what the Giants do with their new revamped lineup with some they got the veterans in there with McCutchen and Longoria. We'll see if they can get heated up. Obviously, with the Bumgarner injury, it's going to be kind of tough for them to get a good start. Obviously, they did get a kind of good start this season with the taking two from the Dodgers in the first series. They're going to play them about six more times, I believe, in the first month, because they play them 10 times total in the first 30 games, I believe. And yeah, so it's six to go. And Bumgarner is not going to be back anytime soon. So Giants, they're going to have to hit the ball, catch the ball, get some good pitching from their guys who are filling in, and see how that works. If they're going to try and battle with the Rockies and even the Cardinals. I was saying Colorado, but Cardinals there too. Rockies, Diamondbacks, Cardinals, Brewers, Giants, all fighting for those two spots in my book when it comes to even the Mets. You can throw the Mets in there for the two wild card spots, which would be, I mean, you got to love that. The fact that Major League Baseball threw in that second wild card makes it so much more interesting. I mean, not only do you get a winner take all game, a sudden death one game, you're adding a whole other team and a whole other fan base into the fact that you might make that game when a team could be 10 games out in the second wild card, but there's two more teams behind them. I think last year there was one wild card team that was clearly in the first wild card spot, no problem, but the second wild card was being battled the whole time in the American League, I believe. So it just adds more fuel to that flame when we get to September, a long way off. I know, talking now in early April, but when you get to September, that wild card game is mighty fun, and it's really exciting. It's baseball to watch because it's sudden death, and when your team finally makes it and they get to that one game playoff, you're only one win away from actually getting into the real tournament and getting into that division series. So that's it for the NL. So I like the Dodgers, the Cubs, and the Nationals. Kind of the same thing that happened last year. Nobody's really shucking it up. Those teams have really strengthened their bids. In the American League, I already talked about the fact that I like the Astros, so we'll move on from the AL West to the AL Central. Another kind of weak division. Cleveland should run away with that pretty easily. They can beat up on all those teams like Detroit and kind of wrap up that division pretty easily to start off. I mean, you got Detroit and the White Sox. They're not looking that good. So nobody really is going to battle with the Cleveland, they have some depth issues, but they have the pitching rotation down. They obviously have Corey Kluber, the Klubot, the ageless wonder. I mean, that guy has some of the best pitching mechanics I've ever seen. And obviously they have those good hitters with Kipnis and Michael Brantley in that lineup, throughout the lineup. Obviously, Francisco Lindor, one of the better shortstops. I think it's going to be between him and, if I was going to say best shortstop in the league, between him, Correa, and Corey Seager, because those guys, not only can they pick it, they can hit it. They got great swings. Corey Seager from the left side, those two guys on the right side, but they all can hit the ball far and hit the ball for average. So and they're young guys. So, I mean, they're going to be here for a long time, and it's great to see the baseball's in good hands with those young superstars, because they're pretty fun to watch. So that's the West. I mean, that's the Central. I like the Indians, Cleveland Indians. looking like they're going to run away with the Central. In the East, that's where it gets interesting. The AL East, I talked about a little bit with Jesse over on this GSMC Sports podcast, how it's going to be a battle for first place with the Red Sox and the Yankees. I talked about a little bit, I think, in the beginning of the show here today, the fact that the Yankees and the Red Sox, they get to play those guys in the bottom of their division, the Toronto Blue Jays, the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Baltimore Orioles, more often than they play the other teams, obviously, so they can try and rack up those wins. But then when they play each other, it's going to be the fact of whoever wins that season series, I think, between the Red Sox and the Yankees is going to win the division, because that's the game. Those are the games that matters. Those are the games that really affect the standings when it comes to the division standings. And then the winner of that division will go on, and then the I think the second place team will probably grab either the first or at least the second wild card spot. I couldn't imagine the second place team in the East dropping out of the wild card, because that's just how strong the Red Sox and the Yankees got over this offseason. Obviously, with the addition of J.D. Martinez for the Red Sox, Chris Sale coming back for a full season. I mean, David Price looking like he's revived. He pitched pretty well in his first start over the weekend in the drop. And then you have Aaron Judge and the Baby Bombers, along with Giancarlo Stanton, coming over to the play in the pinstripes with New York. So, liking those two teams. We'll see. If I had to pick one for real, probably would go with the Yankees. They have the good bullpen. They got Betances. They got Chapman. They got David Robertson. So, I have to take the Yankees to win that series, to win that division. But, like we said, all show, long, long season, long, long haul. It's a marathon, not a sprint. All right, that'll wrap it up for this segment. Next segment, we're going to have to talk about whatever we want. We might talk about pace of play. We're going to talk about trying to get youth players in this league to attract more youth audience, and the fact that they're trying to speed the game up a little bit, making this more, putting a pitch clock on, putting a limit on the mound visits. So it's an MLB opening weekend show for us on the Monday, and I'll be right back.
Want to know the latest in soccer? Then listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast. From MLS, the World Cup, and the Premier League, we've got you covered. The latest updates, the hottest matches, and news on the league's top players. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast.
David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup Finals.
Listen.
Oh, welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. We had talked a lot about the start on the MLB season today, and we talked about Shohei Ohtani and his debut in the major leagues, the guy from the Japanese leagues. He's going to take this league by storm. He is the first two-way player we've seen since Babe Ruth. This grabbed a lot of attention. You should have seen the media over at Angels, in Oakland at the Coliseum. Over the weekend, he had about 120, 130 reporters coming to that game just to watch him play. I remember when Daisuke Matsuzaka came over and started playing for the Boston Red Sox, they had to fill out a whole auxiliary press box to fill in. Those guys planned to do the same thing over at the Coliseum. They got enough room over there. It's a big place in the Coliseum. Last segment, we went over my favorites for the division winners this season. Way too early picks. Obviously, we got a long season. I've talked about it all show, how long the season is, and the fact that we've gone three games. It's exciting, though. We've had our first weekend of real baseball after a long March and having to get through spring training, which is fun. It tells you baseball is back, but about 2 weeks into the spring training season, I'm ready for real games, which we have now, so I'm happy. This segment, I was kind of wanted to touch on the fact that we have some new rules in the Major League Baseball game. They are going to try and speed up this game to make it more appealing to the younger audience, which I believe is a good idea. But the fact that baseball games are kind of just hard to watch regardless of how many mound visits there are. You know that last season in the playoffs, we had some issues with the fact that the Dodgers or the Cubs or whoever it was, they were visiting them. They had pitchers going, catchers going to talk to pitchers almost every other pitch. And it was getting kind of obnoxious because these games were running into the 4-hour marks. I mean, which is pretty standard now for a playoff game. I mean, the whole point of baseball is deliberateness is not on purpose. I mean, it is on purpose, but it's not just to annoy people. It's to make sure you're on the right track or right page with your catcher. Coming from a pitcher here, I've been a pitcher for a long time. You want to make sure you're on the same page as your catcher. And obviously catchers are also your therapist out there, to where pitchers can kind of get little, be little head cases, and your catcher's got to get out there and calm you down. And it's kind of hard to do that from 60 feet, 6 inches away. He's got to go out and actually get in your face and tell you to calm down. So when it comes to the mound visits, I'm kind of indifferent. I don't really see the reason to put a clock or a, I mean, I see the reason to put a clock in between innings. That's something I'll talk to differently. But this year, they put a limit on how many mound visits you can do. I believe it's like 6 or 7 mound visits, I think. And that includes catcher's visits and pitching coach, everything. So they, every stadium now is going to have a mound a sign that will count and tell you how many mound visits you have left in the game. So that's going to be interesting to see if anybody gets caught up with that over the course of the season. I see if they get in trouble. I don't know quite. I can't remember what the penalty is. Did they come out with the penalty for the fact if you go over the I think maybe if you go over the amount of visits, you have to change the pitcher when you go to the mound. Like, the if a catcher goes to the mound too many times, the manager has to come out and change that pitcher, regardless of who is actually warmed up or not. I mean, it's interesting to see what's going to happen. We haven't quite had anything yet over the first weekend. I mean, people, players, this is probably more of a deterrent, I feel. I mean, it's probably more of a deterrent to get, just to make teams. I've already seen kind of play coaches having signs from, pitching coaches having signs from the dugout, to, instead of having to walk to the mound, they kind of just flash a sign to the pitcher, whether it's deciding whether to go to a second sign if there's a runner on second base. There's a lot of intricacies to baseball. I mean, you have the signs from the catcher calling pitches all game, whether it's first sign or last sign, whatever it is. Usually a catcher will flash multiple signs between his legs there, or if there's nobody on base, he'll just give you one. But when there's somebody on second base, he'll definitely go multiple, because you have a guy who's looking right over the pitcher's shoulder into home plate, and you don't want to be able to give him an obvious location or the type of pitch, so where he can try and tip those pitches and try and relay it to the hitter, because there are some hitters that do that can, when they are tipped off and know at least a location or a speed, they can definitely increase their chances of making good contact. There are some hitters who don't like this. Some hitters don't like to know ahead of time, because sometimes it can get in their head, but there are some hitters definitely that would like that little heads up, and that happens a lot in baseball. You'll see a guy at second base will put his arm out or touch his helmet or something like that if he's picked the signs of the catcher, to give that hitter a little heads up on what's going on. So, I mean, they figured it out how to do it, I guess, with this whole mound visit thing, and the fact that they're going to limit the amount of times you can go talk to a pitcher, whether it's the catcher getting up from the crouch and going out to the mound, or it's actually a coach coming out to talk to him himself. So they're trying to speed up the game that way, trying to limit that wasted time. I mean, there is dead time. I mean, I agree. I'm a baseball purist. I'm a baseball fan, so I definitely am no problem sitting and watching a 3-hour baseball game, because every pitch to me is something different. I mean, it's an opportunity for something to happen every single time. But I do kind of understand from the casual fan, from the casual kid watching this game, they'd rather watch a little fast-paced game of basketball, which in my opinion has way too much scoring. But it is faster paced compared to baseball, where it's like, okay, when's something going to happen? Next pitch, oh, he walked, oh, struck out, oh, okay, inning's over, nothing happened, they didn't score anything. Or like if you watch the Giants games over this weekend, or if you watch the Cubs Marlins play 1-1 baseball into the 17th inning. So, I mean, I kind of understand that game probably went, let's see the time, running time for that game was, probably 5 hours. Yeah, start time was 4:10. Where's my box score? It was 5 hours and 18 minutes. Oh, yeah. Guess that one right, because I kind of know that that's an extra 2 hours is about right, because I mean they played 17 innings. It's almost two full baseball games, two full 9-inning games before the Marlins walked off on the Cubs on Friday night. But yeah, no, that's definitely an issue. The baseball has kind of gotten to a point here where you have the NBA and the NFL kind of running away, and then also the outcome of the soccer MLS gaining some popularity. They're obviously going to get now on more of a national televised basis with, I believe, Fox Sports or something like that. It's going to Fox Sports 1 is going to grab them and start televising their games more often. But baseball, it's our national pastime. I don't think it's going away anymore. You have such a crop of young talent that has come into our league. It's going to be pretty interesting to see how this pace of play stuff really transpires throughout this season. We have obviously our new, he's not new, but he's newer commissioner in Robert Manfred. So he's going to be having to make some decisions here near future regarding that that issue with the whole pace of play thing and trying to get more of a youth audience, because that I believe it's the like 13 to 25 demographic is what they're trying to reach here, and then we're getting more of there obviously is more of a 40 to 60 demographic age-wise when it comes to baseball fans, whereas football is definitely skewing a lot lower. So when it comes to baseball, it's not for everybody. I can understand that because it is a slower paced game, but they're really not going to change that much when it comes to minutes. Shaving maybe 5-10 minutes off of a game isn't going to make a difference for the kids sitting at home deciding, oh, okay, the game's 5 minutes longer. Now I'm going to all of a sudden watch the whole thing, or shorter. I'm going to all of a sudden watch the whole thing. I'm not really sure how they're going to figure that's going to work out. So to wrap up the show, we're going to kind of go over the matchups. I'll be back on Wednesday to do some more baseball talk with you guys, but we're going to go over the matchups for this upcoming week. So we got a bunch of games coming up. Today's the second. We have 14 games coming up here because I think some teams are going to have some makeup games, or they're going to wait for that. Oh, Yankee game is postponed. Okay, so that's the only one that's postponed right now. But I've been looking at the board here. Nothing's really striking my eye. You got the Rangers and A's. They're coming up. Let's see if there's any good pitching matchups. Right now, we're on the fourth or fifth game of the year, so nobody really big is pitching because that's how rotations work. You got about four or five guys rotating. If you're the Angels, you have six because of Shohei Ohtani. And not having those big pitchers. Let's see. Maybe on Tuesday. Tuesday, I know we have Johnny Cueto and Felix Hernandez in San Francisco. I will be there for that game. I'll have to tell you about it on Friday, and then obviously I'll probably do a little in-depth preview on that game on Wednesday for the show, during our baseball show here at the GSMC Podcast Network. But I think we're having Max Scherzer on Wednesday. Dylan Bundy against Dallas Keuchel. I like that series. That Baltimore-Houston series. So Baltimore is an interesting team. I kind of pushed them to the side when it came to that AL East talk, because of just how good the Yankees and Red Sox have gotten over this offseason and over the last year. But Dylan Bundy is a great pitcher. I mean, he's a good young pitcher. Obviously, I talked about Dallas Keuchel and the fact that I like him as a lefty. Didn't have like best opening day start or first start of the year for him. He did get the loss and then working on a 4.45 ERA, but that was only one start. So we'll see how Dylan Bundy did. I mean, Dylan Bundy looked real good in his first start. We'll see how that matchup goes. That's on Wednesday. I'll probably talk about it a little more. It's going to be at 11 a.m. during the day, so I'll talk about it a little more on Wednesday. But as far as today, the first show of the week, Monday, April 2nd, here at the GSMC Baseball Podcast, I'm going to wrap it up and sign off for now. We'll see you on Wednesday for another episode. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.